Bibles with us into Isaiah chapter number 1 this morning. Isaiah chapter number 1. You know, he's thinking about trying to find more of a patriotic song to sing, but I tell you what, we don't need more patriotism. We need more godliness. Amen. We don't need more of worship in America. We need more of worship in God. I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I was fortunate enough to be born in America. And I'm glad that our founding fathers realized and seen and determined to set forth a nation that was founded on the principles of God. But I'm glad that I'm a born-again, blood-bought, Bible-taught Christian, and I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. And I tell you what, if you're not this morning, you can be before you leave today. And we trust that God's Word will speak to your heart and life. You know, I'm glad to celebrate Independence Day and this holiday weekend. As everybody talks about the 4th, it's not the 4th, it's Independence Day. Amen. We're losing track. We're losing sight of what we're celebrating. Amen. It's the day that we declared our independence and our freedom. It's Independence Day. It's not just a date that we're celebrating. We're celebrating the day and the cause. It's Independence Day. And praise God, I'm glad that one day He set me at liberty from my sins. Amen. And there's another Independence Day that we can celebrate if we know Christ Jesus as our Savior. Amen. But every time you see somebody put on in the next few days, if you're on Facebook or you hear anybody saying Happy 4th, just remind them it's Independence Day. Amen. We're not celebrating a date. We're celebrating a cause. Amen. We're celebrating a reason why men was willing to risk everything they had. Amen. And put everything they had in jeopardy for the cause of liberty, for the cause of freedom. I'm glad that my God was willing to give everything that heaven had for the cause of liberty. Amen. And Jesus said He came to set the captives free. Amen. And to set at liberty them that were bound and them that were in prison. And praise God, He'll do that for you today. Amen. If you found Isaiah chapter 1 this morning, stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of this holy book this morning. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 1, He says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been a Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you on this thought this morning. As America has been blessed, there's not been any two nations that have been any more blessed in the history of mankind than the nation of Israel and the nation of America by the very hand of God. And both, as we see Isaiah's prophecy as he's preaching and as he's proclaiming it unto Israel, is very relevant in America today. They had a problem. Israel had a problem. problem. Judah had a problem. America has a problem this morning. And I want to preach to you this morning on America's problem. America's got a lot of things that are going right, but America's got a whole lot of things that are going wrong. We got a problem in America. We talked about it in Sunday school class this morning, in the adult Sunday school class. America has an addiction to sin. Amen. We're addicted to sin, and we long and we lust after sin. And not only is America addicted to sin, but many are being beguiled and fooled and tricked into compromising and giving up. We have an addiction in the world. We have an addiction in our churches. We have beguiling taking place on the outside. It's taking place on the inside. And many want to water down the gospel. Many want to water down the truth. Many want to politicize and scandalize and do whatever other eyes you can do to the cause of Christ. But we got a problem, America, and we need to face our problems. Some look around us and say, well, the greatest problem of our day is terrorism. Terrorism's not the problem, amen. In America's history, there have been 39 significant bombings since 1867 in America. One of the greatest school killings, they said the one in New York a few years ago was the largest school massacre, the largest school killing that ever was. That's not the truth. The largest one happened in Bath, Minnesota back in the 30s when a deranged individual bombed a school full of children. Amen. America has been plagued with terrorism since her inception, since her founding as a nation. We see all these incidents that take place. I've got a website you can go to if you want the address to look at all these incidents that have happened in terrorism in America. 9/11 isn't the problem in America. We say, I know Al-Qaeda and ISIS or Daesh, whatever you prefer. It's the mother, the Muslim Brotherhood. Terrorism is not the problem. It's the Muslims. We know it's the Muslims and it's Islam. And I want you to know something. As dangerous as it is, Islam is not the problem. Islam wants to destroy you. In the Quran, Surah 9:29, Allah tells Muslims to fight the people of the book. I don't know about you, but the Baptists have been defined as the people of the book. Amen. This is our ruling God. We don't belong to associations. We don't have a hierarchy. We have a hierarchy that's in heaven, and we follow His book. Amen. In Surah 9:29, He says to fight the people of the book. Fight those who do not believe in God and the last day. And fight the people of the book who do not accept the religion of truth, which is Islam, until they pay tribute by the hand of being inferior. Yes, Islam wants to destroy Christianity. When the Arabs invaded Morocco, they slaughtered 35,000 Christians until their blood literally ran down the streets like a river. The Muslims took their white hats off and dipped it in the blood and turned and dyed their white hats red. That's why you see many Muslims today, they wear the red hat that's called a fez, because it's a reminder and a tribute to them of the Christians that were murdered in the city of Fez in Morocco when they slew them. Just a little bit of history you may not know. In September of 1922, Islamic Turks annihilated 200,000 Christians on the quay of Smyrna's harbor while American, British, Italian, and French ships looked on. In 1989, it's estimated that the Indonesian Muslims had murdered 200,000 East Timorese Christians. Both are examples of the aggression and the hatred that Islam has for Christianity. One of the authors who has written, Samuel Huntington, predicts that Muslims in the world will continue to increase dramatically, amounting to 20% of the world's population about the turn of the 21st century. And we see that today. They say Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today. In In 1990, the number of registered Islamic centers in mosques has tripled from that time to more than 2,500 in America. But Islam is not the problem. We say, look, we got a problem in Washington. Our leaders are the problem. You can look up national scandals in Washington, and I did. I took the time to look them up. The top 10 scandals at the top is Watergate. Next is Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Third is the Teapot Dome scandal during Warren Harding's presidency as his Secretary of the Interior got into a scandal involving oil reserves. And number four is the Iran-Contra under the Reagan administration. The Whiskey Ring during Grant's administration. Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. And Jefferson was charged in 1902 for marrying a slave, which they disputed and which they argued. And finally, the charges were dropped. The credit mobler under Grant's post-Civil War administration, in which his cabinet members profited from the lending agency that was going to finance the Union Pacific Railroad, the Petticoat Affair under the Andrew Jackson administration, Grover Cleveland's illegitimate son, as they heard the cry, "Ma, Ma, where's my paw? Off to the White House. Ha, ha, ha." During his presidential campaign was a great national scandal of our elected officials. Woodrow Wilson's engagement, his second wife, Edith Graff, after his first wife had recently died, was a scandal of his day. And I don't think there's any into it. Just this week, we had a meeting of our secretary, our attorney general meeting. With the husband of someone that she's investigating for criminal wrongdoing. That the end of the scandals in our politics doesn't end. And you don't have to go to the national politics. You can go to the local level. And my gosh, we've just heard it in the last 2 weeks all over the Cecil Whig. But the politics and the political arena is not the problem. We can talk about the moral issue in America. It's not the problem. It's just systematic what the problem is. The problem that America has been outlined here in Isaiah chapter number 1. There's a people that have forgotten God. Amen. Amen. That's what's wrong. That's what the underlying problem in everything else that we see and everything else that we understand is. Look at what God's indictment against his people is. In verse number 2, we see that there's rebellion. Hear, O heavens, and give earth, O children. For the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. I don't know of any parent here that's never had a child that at some point in some way has rebelled to an extent. And there's nothing more frustrating to a parent than a rebellious child. Amen. God has blessed America. I believe God birthed America. I believe God has watched over America. But America has rebelled against the very hand of providence that has blessed it and has brought it forth on its journey. Samuel told Saul that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. God said, my people, whom I've nourished and brought up like children, my children, he called them, have rebelled. I want you to know today that America is on the path of rebellion, and we're rejecting God's word. We're rejecting God's truth. We're rejecting God's providence, and there will be no help for America until America stops rebelling and repents and turns from her wicked way. Amen. America has a problem of forgetting God. In verse number 3, he said, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. How we forgot all that God has done and all that God is doing. In Psalm 103, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I bless his holy name. And verse number 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God said, my people have forgotten me, but he says, they're not like the animals that I've raised. He said, an ox knows his master's crib, an ass knows where his master will feed him and will provide for him. I want you to know something this morning. When America stops giving God the credit, when America stops giving God the glory, when Americans stop praising God for his blessings on America, America has a real problem. Amen. I raise animals, and I can come home, and I had a guy up here, he was building a chimney for me, and was laying a chimney, and he said, you know, he said, I can tell when you're about to get here. I said, how's that? He said, these animals hear your vehicle before you even get here. He said, I can tell when you're coming. When you're all the way over on Adams Road, he said, I can tell you're coming. He said, the chickens start getting restless. The goats start to get restless. The animals start getting restless because they know that when I get there, food is a-coming. Amen. Food is going to be supplied. They know the hand that feeds them, and they appreciate and they anticipate and they look forward. And their voices, you might say, give attendance, gives praise, gives worship to the hand that's feeding it, because they begin to make noise before I even get there. America has stopped giving God the glory. America has stopped honoring God for his blessings on America. We say, God bless America. I bet we want to live like hell. We say, God, touch America. I bet we want to forget about God's blessings and God's goodness on us. We say, God bless America. But we have other things that are more important to us in our lives. Amen. And we wonder why God can't bless America like he once did. He says, we forgot. We've forgotten who he is. You see, even a dumb old animal knows his master. Even a dumb old animal is aware of where his blessings come from. But America has forgotten the Lord. In verse number 4, he says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are going away backward. They have forsaken the Lord. They have forgotten him and his blessing. They have forsaken his word and his instruction. They're no longer following the path of righteousness that God has laid out for them, but they've gone their own way. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody tells you. America was founded by Christians on the Christian principles of the Word of God. And as long as we followed and we strove to maintain those Christian principles and those Christian teachings and those godly instructions in our life, America has been blessed. But when America started rejecting God, when America started rejecting His Word, when America started going their own way, it says they went away backwards. Amen. You'll never move forward and do anything positive outside of Christ. You'll never do anything worthwhile outside of following God's word. I don't care if it's in your personal life. I don't care if it's in your personal relationship. I don't care if it's in your marriage. I don't care if it's in your family life. I don't care if it's in your business life. Anything you do outside of the word of God and the will of God, you'll never prosper in. Amen. It might seem prosperous. Asaph over in Psalm 73. And I remind you all, every now and then you ought to read Psalm 73 about once a month. Amen. It keeps you on the right path. It'll keep you on the right track. Asaph said, man, I looked at all the ungodly people. I seen how they had all this and they didn't have cares and they had money. They had riches and they had the boats and they had the fancy cars and the big trucks and the toys and everything. They had all these things. And he said, I was envious at all these people that had all these things. He said, until I went to the house of God. And I remembered and I was reminded that those things can't save. Those things can't help. Those things can't do a thing. I know there's a song out that about the, I forget how it goes, or some country. They say rich ain't everything. He says, but I like that thing, buy me a truck, and buy me a boat, and buy me a Yeti 110, and buy him all these things. But none of these things can save a soul. Matter of fact, all these things can pull you straight into hell. Amen. That's what Asaph found out when he went to the house of God. He realized that you can't go contrary to the word of God. You can't deny God's power. You can't deny God's will. And you can't deny God and find a way and find a place where he'd have you to be. Look at what he says. He says in verse number 5 down here. He says, why should you be stricken anymore? He said, well, you revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. You know, we live in a nation where our head, our leadership is corrupt, immoral, and spiritually deficient. The whole head is sick. Amen. Our leaders don't make decisions based on what does saith the word of God, but they make decisions based on what does saith the carnal man. What's going to please man? What's going to make man happy? What's going to make me rich? Most of these politicians, they go into office broke and come out a few years later and they go into office just like we are. And they come out of office a few years later and they're millionaires. He said the head. He said the head is corrupt. The head is sick. And I tell you what, until America gets leaders in place that'll stand on godly principles, amen, that'll stand on godly prerogatives, that'll stand on godly prerequisites, America will not be blessed like God would like to bless it. He said, not only is the head sick, not only does the head have a problem, he said the whole heart is faint. Americans are faint. Americans don't have the heart anymore to send people to Washington that are going to do what the Word of God says to do. Americans have fainted under the weight of sin. They have fainted under the addiction and the curse of sin. They have fainted under the things that God said in His very Word. Would draw a nation down, would draw a people down, would draw an individual down. The head is sick and the heart is faint. Why do we put these idiots in Washington? Because the heart is faint. Amen. Amen. And this isn't endorsing any political, it's just preaching the truth. Amen. Amen. The head is sick and the heart is faint. Folks, you're the heart. You're a part of the heart. Amen. Our churches have got wishy-washy. And if the churches is wishy-washy, what do you expect the rest of the world to be? And if the rest of the world is wishy-washy, what do you expect us to do for the head? Amen. It's going to get sick. You know what? You get heart disease and slowly you're able to start doing less. My dad had heart disease back before they had bypass surgery and all this. He died, I was 8.5 years old. And I watched my dad literally from heart disease just get to where he couldn't do. As a little kid, I was raised up in My dad was bedridden most of the time. He didn't even have the strength sometimes to get up and go to the restroom. He was so weak he couldn't move. The heart was faint. And because the heart was faint, the body was failing. Friends, when the heart gets faint, the mind, the head is going to suffer. We need to get back to a place where God is first and foremost in America. God is first and foremost in our lives. We're not afraid to say, God bless America. We're not afraid to say, I'm proud to be a Christian. And I'm proud to stand in a nation that honors God and honors Christ. We see the sickness that has stricken America, the sickness that is plaguing America. It's a problem that needs to be dealt with. He says in verses number 7, he says in verse 6, he says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but the wounds and the bruises and the putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. We see the ravages and the results of sin all around us, and no matter what they do, they say we need another program. We need another thing over here. We need to pour some more money into this. We need another clinic and another club. We need another social issue. Let me tell you something this morning. Let me tell you something true. There's nothing short of repentance. There's nothing short of turning a nation back to God that's going to help to shore up the wounds that are plaguing America. Addiction is on the rise. Rebirth will do what rehab could never do. Amen. A financial collapse is all around us. Rebirth, birth you into the family of a God that's able to supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Amen. Our relationships, our marriages are failing and faltering at a pace that you can't even keep track of it anymore. You can't even keep records because some are even choosing not to even marry. What's the use, they say? It makes no difference. Let me tell you what. There's a bride that is waiting for a bridegroom. Amen. There's a God that still takes relationships very personally and makes them a very prominent part of our lives. And we need to start honoring Him and what we do. And we can try to heal all the problems of our nations with all this social aid and all this social gobbledygook that they want to pour down upon us. But nothing outside of a right relationship with Jesus Christ and a right relationship with our Heavenly Father is going to make a difference in sealing up the wounds that are in America. Amen. He said, you're sick and your wounds are putrefied. They stink. And there's nothing you can do to heal them. Amen. Verses 7 to 8. He says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Let me tell you something. We have an America today that resembles nothing of what America should resemble. Theodore Roosevelt, and please don't anybody take this the wrong way. Theodore Roosevelt says, when you become an American, you should be an American and nothing else but an American. He said, any man that says they're an American and something else isn't a true American. Amen. We all come from America's. We all come from diverse backgrounds. Amen. But I can't claim allegiance to something and be an American. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what the point he is making? I agree with him 100%. There are no African Americans, Hispanic Americans, European Americans, Asian Americans. We're Americans. Amen. Amen. We come from different heritages and different backgrounds. That's the thing that made America great. We was a melting pot of different peoples. We had people who come who were Buddhist, who were Catholic, who were Muslims even, and they were brought into our country, and they were given religious freedoms and religious liberties. But if they declare allegiance to anything other than America and what America stands for, and America is built on the principles of the sound word of God, amen, you're less than an American. Amen, amen or ouch. Amen. Amen or ouch. We can't hold allegiance to someone and somewhere else and hold allegiance to America.
Amen.
We're Americans. You can't be a Christian and be something else. See, we got this misconception that, well, I'm an American, so I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven. But we can't be an American and be a Christian that doesn't live and doesn't uphold and doesn't put forth those Christian principles that are upheld in the gospel.
Amen.
And have a hope of going to heaven. Jesus told a religious man, you must be born again. It didn't matter whether he was a Jewish leader. It didn't matter whether you were a Catholic leader or a Methodist leader. It don't matter whether you're a Baptist leader. You must be born again.
Amen.
It don't matter whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're a Buddhist. You must be born again.
Amen.
You won't go to heaven because you're an American. You'll go to heaven because of a right relationship with Jesus Christ. George Washington said, I'm sure that there was never a people that had more to acknowledge a divine interposition in their affairs than those of the United States. And I should be pained to believe that they have forgotten the agency with which so often manifested during our revolution, or that they failed to consider the omnipotence of that God who is alone able to protect him. Patrick Henry said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists but by Christians, not on religions but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very peoples of other faith have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. Psalms 33:12 said, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, the people he has chosen for his inheritance. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness uplifts a nation, but sin is a shame to any people. Warren G. Harding said, it's my conviction that the fundamental trouble with the people of the United States is that they have gotten too far away from Almighty God. President Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we'll be one nation going under. Folks, problem in America today, the problem in most Christians, the problem in a lot of churches today is we forgot God. And we forgot to allow him to be the most important part of our life. We forgot to allow him to be the most important thing that transpires in our nation. I'm thankful for our national pride, but praise God, I'd be more proud to say that that America was a 100% sold out Christian nation. Wouldn't you?
Amen.
Y'all didn't hear that? I'd be a whole lot more proud. Let me slow down. Maybe you didn't catch this. I would be a whole lot more proud of America if I could say that America was a 100% sold out to God nation. Amen. I'm glad to be an American. I'm proud that I'm an American. And for all her ills and all her faults, there's still hope for America. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, get a song.